All right, let's get on your Bibles again in Romans chapter 4. I just want to share with you some, like, what is, in my opinion. Abraham as an extraordinary example for the Christian today. I know we're talking about a patriarch who born, like 2,000 years before Christ. And he's been, his background is really interesting. And especially for the name. Okay, I don't know if something in me that I'm really, interested in the names. Like my name, actually my first name is Jorge. Some of you know that. My first name is Jorge, my middle name is Alfredo. And I look in the, what does that mean? The name Jorge means a gardener or farmer. And I'm not in either two of those. I'm not either a farmer or a gardener, no. I used to have a plant. I put water every day, and it get dry. And it was a plastic plant, so I don't know what happened. And the name Alfredo comes from alfarero. It means a potter, the one who worked with the things and mold and everything. So I'm not really good with that either. But the name Abraham means father of many, and that's basically what the Lord put his name of him, because he will be, the father of the faith, not only for the Jews, but also for us, for the Gentiles or the Christians even. So he was, like I said, he was born 2,000 years before Christ. He lived for 170 years. And like I say, in my opinion, he was an extraordinary example for the Christian today. Okay, he not only we know his story in the Old Testament, but also in the New Testament, he's mentioned a lot. Okay, in the whole Bible, 231 times is mentioned the name Abraham, and in the New Testament, it's mentioned him 71 times. So that means that he was really used as an example. In the book of Hebrews, in chapter 11, he's mentioned it 12 times, as well as his wife, Sarah. So he's considered not only the father of the Jews nation, but also the father of the Gentiles, or the father of the faith. I remember when I didn't grow up in a Christian home, so I know the Lord when I was 18 years old in 1992. And I remember when I heard the song, Our Father Abraham, for the kids, and I always want to sing that song with the kids, and especially in the Union Church. I always want to, because, it involves a lot of movements, and singing. So I like that. And and because he was justified by his faith long before the nation of the Israel exists. Abraham is, I think, is just like us. He had also many faults and sins. He fell in sin, and he was not a perfect man. But God always showed him His grace, okay, and His mercy. So today I just want to talk about some qualities that we find in Abraham and how this can help us today in our spiritual life, okay? So the first one could be, like Abraham, we believe in God, okay? I think that's the main one. That's the one who started everything. Abraham's background, like I said, is very interesting. He used to live in Ur. It was a pagan city. He might be, was a pagan too. He might be worship idols, and goddess, and those where he was come from. But when God called him, to start the new nation of the Jews, the Israel, the Bible says he trusts God. So that means that God It wasn't because he was a good man, or he was a man who always worshiped God. No, he was an idolatry. So, but God seeing him grace. So God called him, you know, to stay away, get out from that place, you know, and start a new journey and start a new city, the promised land. So this should be the starting point for all of us too. Okay. Many of you, maybe, like I said, like me, I wasn't born in a Christian home. I know the Lord when I was, you know, in my teens, years. But, maybe some of you may be born in a Christian home, but that doesn't mean that makes you, a believer since you're born. You know, you have to know the Lord for yourself, personally, you know, in your heart. Okay. And that's also, We've been trying to teach our children too. You know, we have two children, Anaid and Daniel, and they're not Christians because we are Christian, or because I am a pastor, or they are pastor's kids. You know, they have to find the Lord by themselves. You know, and they have to know the Lord by themselves. So we need to believe in God, and faith is what produces salvation. Okay, like Abraham. He believed in the Lord. He trusts the Lord. And we see this in this verse 3 in Romans chapter 4 verse 3. What say the scripture? Abraham believed God, and he was counted unto him for righteousness. This comes from Genesis 15:6. Would say the same thing. And Abraham believed Jehovah. So a personal faith in God is one of the greatest need for every person in the world. Okay. That's more than anything we need. Okay. Maybe you need money. Maybe you need a house, or you need a good work, or maybe you need a family, or but there's no other greater need in the man that salvation. Okay. That's the main thing. We can have everything else, like Abraham. He was a prosperous man. You know, he had a lot of animals and a lot of land, but he realized that he basically what he needs is the Lord or God in his life. Okay, Acts. I remember this verse, Acts 16:31. Maybe you know this verse too. And they say, "Believe in the Lord, on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved, and thy house." When I got saved, I remember Pastor Raymond, Brother Raymond, Pete Raymond. Some of you know him. He testified me right after the service. The first service I went to a Baptist church, he set me apart. When everything was done, the service and people is leaving, you know, he took me apart and said, you wanna get saved? And I did it in that moment. I didn't know exactly what he was meaning, but I just say yes, because I am like a yes man. I always say yes to almost everything. I say yes. So, except when Pastor invited me to hunting, I say no, because I don't like hunting. I don't like hunt. So, but I say yes. So he teach me, you know, through the Bible how to get saved. I got saved. I do the prayer, and then after that he told me, he showed me this verse, Acts 16:31, and say, memorize that verse and put it on your heart, because God will work in you and in your family. And that was in March 7th. So it's 30 years now ago, I think. Yeah, 30 years ago. So it was in March 7th or 8th. And then I've been, you know, reading that verse, memorized it, and you know, praying for my family. A few months after, my youngest brother got saved. And the same year in December, my parents got saved. And in June or July the next year, my elder brother got saved. So praise the Lord, he works in my family. But it wasn't because we became a good person. No, it was because, you know, the Lord, you know, we claim the Lord. And we used to be Catholics, okay? And you know how the Catholic is, you know, they worship, you know, saints and the Virgin Mary and some other things. But God take us out from that religious thinking and put us in a relationship with the Lord. And praise the Lord. Now my dad is the pastor of the church. My brother have his pastor in another church. My youngest brother, he's the one who does not want to get involved in the ministry, but he helps my brother in his church. So it's faith, you know, give us salvation. And so if you're not saved today, you don't need anything else, but just put your trust and your faith in the Lord. Okay, this morning. Also, faith give us security. Okay, security. Faith not only give us salvation, but also give us security. We are sure that when we are with the Lord, God reassures us of His security with our faith. Okay, so if you go with me to Genesis chapter 15, now we move on to the book of Genesis chapter 15. We're going to stay in the book of Genesis for a while now. So I don't care if you lost Romans 4, so you don't need that. But let's go to Genesis chapter 15, verse 1. It said, after these things, the word of the Lord came unto Abraham and in a vision, saying, fear not, Abraham, I am thy shield and thy exceeding great reward. Okay. When Abraham moved to the promised land, he was afraid of the pagan people there, that they lived there. Okay, so, but here in this verse, we can see, you know, the security that God gave us once we trust in Him. Okay, that the Lord will protect us, that He will be our shield, you know, and He will be reward us, okay, with His grace and His mercy. So there's something that only a Christian, only a believer can experience. Okay, not anybody else. Maybe some other people maybe they feel secure in their religion, in their religion or some other in their profession or some other things. But at the end, what happened at the end? If they don't been trusting in the Lord, they go to the condemnation. So all that security was in vain. The only true security we have is in the Lord, and it was by faith. Okay, when Abraham believed in the Lord, he believed God. You know, God gave him His spirit, but also gave him this security. And can you imagine what could happen if Abraham didn't obey the Lord? Where the Israel will be now? Okay. So it's because he obeyed, he trusted the Lord, and he found, you know, that security in Him. So God spoke to him, telling him that not to be afraid, because he was his shield, and he will reward him. You know, I remember when we moved from Juarez, from Mexico to Madison, for us it was a unique experience. Okay. I don't know how many of you have been through, you know, this change, you know, from one country to another. But for us, it was a big change. And everything was different. Everything was new. Everything was, you know, complicated in the beginning, you know, with the language, with even the transportation. It was really hard. So it wasn't an easy thing to move to a different place, you know. But because God was the one who called us to come here, you know, we was here. The first time we came to Grace was in September or November 1999 is when we came here first, and we met Pastor, we met Brother Juan Gomez and Raul and Brother David. We met them. We spent here for maybe three. I think it was 3 months. We stayed here for 3 months. And when we moved back to Mexico, we finished our college, you know, and then by 2003, God called us to come back here, okay, to Madison, to help in the Spanish ministry. And like I say, it was not really what we were expecting, you know. I was talking to my pastor down there before, and it was in 2001. When I was talking with my pastor and say, I think God is calling me to go as a missionary to Peru. I don't know why I was feeling that God was calling me to go to Peru. But he, you know, Pastor Raymond, he was a really wise man, you know. And I always trust him, you know, his wisdom. And he say, well, think about it and pray for that. And may, if God open another door, just go through that, because God is the one who's gonna help in guide you. So soon, that was April, May in 2001. By July 2003, and is when I met the Pastor Howell again in one of the missions trip to Juarez, and he invited me, and I say, okay, let's put it in a prayer. Let's put it in God's hands. As soon as I went to my work, I used to work in a construction company, and I say, I would like to have some vacation time in September. So he said, you know what? You was one of the 10 people who are going to put in a layoff. So what do you think? We just put in a layoff right now, and you can leave. So so he say, okay. So that was, for me, God is showing me that he don't want me to go back there. So that's why we decided to move here, because we can see God's hands in our lives. And we can see God's protection, okay, and security. So, and I don't want to talk about too much about me, but that's something that's only I can share. You know, saying that God is really working. God really can work in your life too. You know, if only you ready to trust in him, put your faith in him, and obey him, you know. And God will protect you. God will give you security in your faith. Okay. Number two is, like Abraham, we can start over if we have sinned. Okay. Abraham, like I say, he was far from being a perfect man. And he fell into despair and sin like many of us. But that's not what's important, or that's what not I want to focus on. But I want to focus on how important it is to repent and do the right thing again. Okay, like Abraham did. When he saw a problem, when he get involved in a situation, you know, they were in the Negev and in Canaan, and a famine came. How do you say that? Feminine, yeah. A feminine and that famine. Okay, thank you, famine. And he thought, you know, it was better for him and his family to go back to Egypt. Okay. And that's really not a wise decision. Yeah. Yeah. Sometimes we are like him also. So if we get involved in a problem, in a need, or in a uncomfortable situation, sometimes it's easier for us to find the easier solution. Okay. Like Abraham. He said, oh, we can't continue here. Let's move on to Egypt. But, we can see every time Abraham go to a place, he built an altar to God. And he praised him and he thanked the Lord for that. But as soon as he get to Egypt, he realized that that wasn't a good decision. He even lied to the Pharaoh, you know, saying, no, this is not my wife, she's my sister. And she started, you know, on the scene to another and another. And even though God prospered him, you know, in Egypt, but I believe his heart was not, you know, comfortable with the Lord. So as soon as he get out from Egypt in Genesis 13, he went out of Egypt and go back to the promised land. We can see that he built an altar again. So, and that's happened, that's also teaches us, you know, to, we're not perfect. We can fall in sin. And I'm not to tell you to do it. No, it's because it's in our nature. Sometimes it's something that we can't control, because if we let our flesh, you know, control us, we're going to start doing wrong things, you know. So we have to, you know, submit our flesh, put it into that, and let the Spirit of God, you know, guide us in our lives. Abraham, he used to, like I say, he used to make an altar to God in every place he go, but when he arrived to Egypt, he didn't build anything for God. So if we're not get involved in the things of God, we don't want to do anything for the Lord. So I know sometimes you might have an opportunity to serve here in the church, But if you know you're in sin, if you know that you're not right with the Lord, you don't want to get involved in that. Because you feel that the Spirit let you know that you're not right. You need to repent for your sin and get right to the Lord. And then you can worship Him. You can praise Him, you know, as we should be doing. Okay. So let's go back to Genesis 13, chapter 13, verses 1-4. Genesis 13, 1-4. And Abraham went up out of Egypt, he and his wife and all that he had, and Lord and Lot with him into the south. And Abraham was very rich in cattle and silver and in gold. And he went on his journeys from the south, even to Bethel, unto the place where his tent had been at the beginning between Bethel and Ai, unto the place of the altar which he had made there at the first. And there Abraham called on the name of the Lord. So we can see as soon as he get back where he used to be, he praised the Lord again. He go back to worship Him. So that's something that we can learn also from Abraham. You know, I'm not a perfect either. So sometimes I make mistakes and I fall in sin. But as soon as I realized that, the Bible said in 1 John 1:9, you know, if we confess our sins, you know, He is faithful and He is just to forgive us our sin and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So that's something that only the Lord can do that. And just like Abraham, we have the same God as him. Yeah, it's the same God. The same God, He forgave him, you know, and gave him another chance. God also give us a second chance, and a third, and a fourth, and a fifth, and as many we need. Okay, but because the Lord loves us, and He wants us to, you know, to do the right, to do the right thing for Him, you know, and He don't miss that chances that the Lord give us. But all because remember this, that sin bring forth death. So we keep in sin, falling in sin and sin and sin. And suddenly, if we don't take the opportunity to repent from our sins, that brought us to death. And then we'll be too late to repent. Okay. So number three, like Abraham, we can be generous. Okay. Like Abraham, we can be generous. Let's continue in Genesis chapter 13. Look with me, verse 8 and 9. And Abraham said unto Lot, let there be on strife, I pray thee, between me and thee, and between my herdmen and thy herdmen, for we be brethren. Is not the whole land before thee? Separate thyself, I pray thee, from me. If thou wilt take the left hand, then I will go to the right, and if you thou depart to the right hand, then I will go to the left. Okay. So what we see here, Abraham, like I say, he was a prosperous man, you know, his nephew Lot also, but he not also helped his nephew financially, but also he was like a father to him. And Abraham, he didn't want to get, you know, in a fight between him and Lot and their, you know, their shepherds or their, how to say, herdmen. And so he let Lot choose first. Wherever he wants to go, he can go the other side. And that's something that came my attention, because he's supposed to be the older man. He's supposed to be the one who chooses first, okay? He has the priority, you know, to let Lot, choose him first, and then Lot can take the other way, okay? But no, he was generous to say, you know, no, you go first, okay? I remember the message from Pastor Raymond, take the back seat. He always say, take the back seat. He always say that because sometimes we as a preacher, as a pastor, we always want to be in front, and you know, and yeah, we are leaders. We're supposed to be in front, but also sometimes we have to, you know, take the back seat. You know, humble ourselves, you know, and let the other ones get first. And that what happened with Abraham. So we need to be generous to others. Okay, that tells us about the humility that the Abraham had. Much has been lost today. That's something we need in a lot of Christians today. You know, this generosity to other ones. Generosity should be an important characteristic in the Christian. The Bible constantly teaches us to be generous and compassionate one to another. And this attitude of the early church, it was highlighted in this action of giving, you know, each one that need help. Or other churches that they need help. And we can see in the book of Acts how the churches support either other churches, you know, that were in need. And Paul was the one who, you know, bring the offering to the church in Jerusalem from the other churches. So we can see that generosity, you know, and that's something that we need to get back in our churches, right? We need to be more generous. So we are in a country that God has been blessed a lot, you know. Like I say in a previous message, you know, I remember when we first moved here, and a few months after we was here, we found an apartment, but we didn't have any furniture. So the people from church, they start bringing us furnitures and things, you know, pants, and one lady brought us a TV. What else? I remember, one Sunday we came from our house to the service on Sunday morning, and we found a couch outside in the house there. So I asked Brother David, "Hey, Brother David, can I use your pickup truck so we can get that couch?" He said, "Yeah." So we pick up the couch and we put it back in our apartment. Next Sunday we found the other one, the love seat. So we took the same one. We had the same one, and that's something only we can find here in the States, you know, in this country. So for me it was, oh, we can get those furniture for free right from the sidewalk, all right? That you don't see that in Mexico. You don't see that in Mexico, all right? There's a story of a man who put his mattress. He cleaned his mattress in Mexico, and he put it out in the sidewall, you know, to get dry from the sun. And some man just took it. Yeah, he took it. And then when he came out and he didn't see that his mattress, and, you know, through Facebook, he said, "If you see a car with a mattress," and a lot of people, you know, start sending pictures with cars with mattresses on the top until he find, "Oh, it's that one." So they contact that person, so he get the mattress back. So, but that's how we don't see that in Mexico, right? So, but it's because God has been so generous, so we can give also to what happened last night with the meal, with the Spanish ministry activity. It surprised me a lot, and I think a lot of you, many of you also, surprised you how the Lord provide that amount of money, you know. So there's people around us who need help. So not just money, but also we can give them from our time words of encouragement or skills or so many other things. You know, we need to be generous. And also we must be generous to God, you know. In the same, Genesis 14, when Abraham, you know, rescued Lot, the Bible said that when he went to Melchizedek, the king of Salem, and he gave to him all the tithes of everything. So we can see also that he was not only generous to his nephew, but also to God. He gave to God what he needed. So, and we're talking about long time before the church, you know, began, tithing is not limited to just the law or just for the Jews. It must be a practice that comes from our desire, you know, to glorify God with something of how much He has given us. Okay. The tithe that we give to the Lord is a minimum. It's just 10% of what really God gave us, the rest. So starting with giving is only the example that we have from the Lord, He gave His only begotten Son. That's the greatest example we can see in the Bible. Okay, so if God was able to give His only Son, why we can, you know, give more, you know, for Him. Okay, so as a church, we have a great opportunities to serve the Lord and to give to the church. Okay, we have a great project soon as our new addition here. And that's something we need to work on that. Okay, so but we have to work, we have to give, and we have to glorify the Lord, and He will provide. Okay, and also that reminds me the faith of Abraham when he was in the moment to sacrifice his son, you know, in the mountain. He said, "God will provide." Okay, Isaac said, "Well, there's the wood, there's the fire, but where is the sacrifice?" And he said, "The Lord will provide." And he was, I don't know if I can do that, to almost kill my son for the Lord, but he was able to do it. He was able to obey. But he was trusting the Lord, he will provide again. Okay. Number four, like Abraham, we can pray. Okay. Like Abraham, we can pray. Let's go back now to Genesis chapter 18. Verses 18-23. Maybe I'm not going to read all the whole story, because to read a couple of verses is really hard for me. So I read it 10 verses is harder. So, but you can do it on your time. But you know this story, right? When God came to Abraham and said He will destroy Sodom and Gomorrah because of their sin was, you know, really bad. And Lot was there living in Sodom and Gomorrah. You know, well, you know the story. But what I mean, you can see, you know, this dialogue between God and Abraham, you know. And more than a dialogue, he was like a negotiation, you know. But Lord, are you going to destroy the city if you found 50 righteousness people? And the Lord said, well, I'm not going to destroy it, but there was not 50. And he kept down, you know, 45 or 30, 20, 10, even 10 people righteous. And will you destroy the city because of that? And he said, no, I won't. But there was not even 10 people destroyed, righteous. It was only Abraham and his family. So, and we have to, or questions about Lot's wife, you know, about his faith, her faith, I mean. But what is, if you want to know what prayer means, it is, we can see it here. Prayer is just a communication with God. We can pray, we can communicate with the Lord, and that's exactly what is happening here. You know, they were negotiating, they were, you know, they have this communication, and that's something we have to, we need to practice more too, you know. Like I say, I used to come from a Catholic religion, and we most usually just say phrases, you know, repeatedly phrases. The Father, what do you say? The Holy, the Our Father and Mary and all those things. I don't really learn those things, never in my life. My parents, they did, but not me. But maybe some of you, they might learn those prayers, you know. But when we're talking about real prayer, it's only talking with God, okay? Talking to Him. If you have a need, just talk to Him. If you just want to praise Him, talk to Him, you know, in a prayer. You know, if you want to thank the Lord because something, just pray, okay? And we should pray for those who are not saved. We should pray for a spiritual revival in our lives. We must pray for the fullness of Holy Spirit in our life. You know, that's something that is really need in the Christians today. You know, yeah, we know the verse that we be full with the Spirit. You know. But do we really live like we have the Spirit full in our hearts, you know? And that's not happen just because we get up in the morning. No, we have to ask God to, you know, fill our hearts with the Spirit, with His Spirit. In order to have that, we have to empty it ourselves. You know, we have to confess our sin. We have to, you know, give our will to God and let be fulfilled with the Spirit. So we pray, we must pray to thank God for everything and to praise Him and glorify Him. And we know a lot of verses, Jeremiah 33, you know, John 16, 24, 1 John 5, 14. So when we pray, we feel like we're talking with a true friend, like in God, okay, like Abraham was. He said, God told Abraham, am I going to hide it to my friend what I'm going to do with the Sodom and Gomorrah? No, because they were really close friends. So God was able to share him what he's going to do. And that's why Abraham was able, you know, to pray for his nephew Lot to not get destroyed with the city. So we need to pray like Abraham. And finally, at the end, like Abraham, we can put our eyes on the eternal. Okay. Now let's go back to Hebrews. Let's go now to book of Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11, verses 9 and 10. Hebrews 11, verses 9 and 10. He said, by faith he sojourned in the land of promise, as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacle with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he looked for a city which had foundations, whose builder and maker is God. Okay. So the story teaches that Abraham was a very prosperous man. He was very wealthy, but he also knew there was not all everything in the life. He said he was looking for a city. It was a builder was God. Okay. Then what does that mean? That means the glory. Okay, and also in the New Testament we find a lot of reference saying that we put our eyes, you know, in the eternal, put our eyes in the heavens, you know, focus our mind and our eyes in the Lord. Okay, not only trying to please this world, trying to live like this world lives. You know, we need to put our eyes in the Lord. You know, and then. Yeah, we can have I'm not saying that you can't have a car, you can't have a nice house. Yeah, you can have it. You can pay it. Go forward. But don't just leave for those things. Because as soon as we left this world, we're gonna left everything here. Okay. I remember when my mother-in-law, before she passed away, she used to say, when I die, she tell the daughters, when I die, make a hole in my casket and put my hands out so people can see I'm not taking anything from here. So he said, and also she say, if you can put my hands out so I can fly, you know, when I go to heaven. So she was so nice. But but as a Christians in this world today, materialistic, you know, and we're focusing a lot on earthly things, but as Abraham, we need to focus more in the eternal, okay, in heaven. So if you trust in the Lord, you're securing Him, you know, by faith. If you die, you go to heaven. But once, that happened, if we live here in this world, okay, or living, which should be for the Lord, not for this world. Okay, so when we adjust our lives and recognize this fact, our lives take a new meaning of hope and joy and security. And Abraham discovered that God is worth more than all the wealth in the world. So we too, we must, you know, put our sights on the heavenly things. Okay, okay. Let's have a word of prayer. Let's stand up. Close your eyes. Bow your head. And now let's the Lord spoke to our hearts. I know I'm not a really good preacher, but the most important thing is that God spoke to your heart. That the Lord speak to your heart, to your life. And so I just want to encourage you to open your heart to the Lord, that the Holy Spirit guide you to make a good decision to this morning. Maybe you're here and you trust in your religions or you trust in your good works. But now you understand that's not going to save you. Only if you put your faith in the Lord. Put your faith, put your trust in Him. Confess your sins to the Lord. And He will forgive you. So, if you need to be encouraged like Abraham, just follow his example too. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we pray now that you guide us and direct us to make good decisions this morning. And we praise this in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.